Good evening. It is good to be back. It is good to see all of you. It is good to see our visitors, and thank you so much for being here with us. It just thrills me every time I see you. I just love all of you so very, very much. This evening's lesson is entitled, A New Commandment, Love. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. That's what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. Now the Greeks have four different words, all of which are translated love in English, but the word agape is a higher type of love. It's the kind of love that seeks the very best for one regardless of how that one treats you, regardless of who he is or what their attitude towards you is. That's agape love. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Or when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly? Or but God commended his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us? Are you beginning to get the point here? The love of God towards us, that's agape love. Mankind was not lovable, yet God loved us enough to send Christ to die for our sins. So now I do ask you to open your Bibles to John chapter 13. Follow along with me in this lesson this evening, if you would, a lesson about a new commandment, love. And in John chapter 13, we read the first part of an account of the Last Supper, an account that continues on through chapter 17. This evening, however, I want to focus upon the first part, chapter 13, and just a few verses of it. In the chapter, we see Jesus was at the feet of the disciples. We see Jesus troubled in his spirit, revealing to his apostles that one of them would betray him. And in verse 30, we see Judas leaving to carry out that awful deed, and his departure is kind of summed up with the dramatic statement in verse 30, and it was night. After he left, Jesus said in verses 33 through 35, he said, Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You seek me, you shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That new commandment, brethren and friends, that new commandment is what I want to talk to you about this evening, and I wanted to apply it specifically to us here, the family at Prairie Village. If you would, turn with me to Mark the 12th chapter. Mark chapter 12. The passage tells us, beginning in verse 28, And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. In view of the teachings of love here, the first about loving God being is from Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, verses 4 and 5. And the second about loving your neighbor as yourself is from Leviticus, verses 19, chapter 19 and verse 18. So you may be asking yourself, in what sense could Jesus say a new commandment? A new commandment I give unto you that you love one another. Well, that love, the love that Jesus commands, was new in its breadth, it was new in its width, and it's new in its scope. While the love of Leviticus 19:18 was to be discharged within the Jewish state, the love that Jesus commands knows no physical boundaries. It is love for all those who make up the body of Christ, that great family of which we are all a part of. Just look at us here at Prairie Village. There are among us social differences, diverse backgrounds, different tastes and habits. But those of us who are Christians are bound together by ties that are much stronger than all of those different kinds of things that tend to separate and pull people apart. Within the body of Christ, those differences don't mean anything. And that is different. It is just like Paul expressed in Galatians chapter 3. Come with me, please. Galatians chapter 3, and let's read verses 26 through 29. Paul says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises." So we need to note that this love is to be absolutely mutual too. It's to be mutual. It is the duty of all, the duty of each and every disciple of the Lord to love his fellow disciples, and it is the equal duty of those fellow disciples to return that love. And there are no exceptions. This love that is to characterize us and is in fact a command of us is to be, as Jesus said, "as I have loved you." If you really want to know about something, you go to the source, don't you? And if you want to know about love, you go to Jesus. Look with me together at 1 John chapter 3. John wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 16. He wrote, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." What did you say, John? He says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That is the kind of love that we are to have for one another here at Prairie Village. That is what we're supposed to shoot for. And I want to talk about that love the rest of the night. First, that love is absolutely self-sacrificing. You see, under the law of Moses, it was to love your neighbors yourself. But under the law of Christ, it is "as I have loved you," and that is more than self. Let's look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus said in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you," he says. "As I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So you see, Jesus was in the process of doing that very thing and more, because he laid down his life for those who hated him. So our goal to shoot for is to love one another more than we love ourselves. The second point. The love that we are to have to each other is also to be from purely unselfish motives. It is not to be from a, "what can I get from this" kind of attitude. No. Think of Jesus. He loved his disciples while they were poor and while they were unworthy. There was nothing of a material nature that Jesus was going to get from them. The motive of our Lord's love was derived from himself and not from them. He loved their weaknesses. He loved their errors. He loved their backslidings. And his love seemed to be the strongest when they least deserved it. One of them even denied him 3 times, and yet he loved him all the more, even making a special point after his resurrection to have Peter told that he was risen. And when Thomas rather sternly and obstinately refused to believe that he had been risen, Jesus had him put his fingers in the print of the nails. And only the most unselfish love would do such things. And so we are to love one another. We are to love one another. We're to help the weak in the faith. Bend down and lift up the fallen. Love one another. Not because of what we have, but because of what we are. Fellow disciples of Jesus Christ. Third point. That love that we're to have for one another is to be practical. Jesus didn't simply profess love, he lived it. Love is not perfect until it appears in action. Our Lord's love was very active. It was active. How best to explain it? The love of Jesus walked in his feet, it spoke in his tongue, and worked in his hands. It was with the hands of love that he taught the great lesson of humility by washing his disciples' feet. Now, I have known, and I'm sure all of you here have known, so many cases where older brothers and sisters in Christ have lost control of their bodily functions. And the hands of love of our brother or sister humbly washes them wherever it's needed. It was with the eyes of love that Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus, and with the voice of love that he called him forth when he says, "Come forth, Lazarus." Oh, how many funerals have I been and where I've seen brethren weeping the same tears of compassion for a bereaved individual whom they have no other tie except they are brethren. It was with the feet of love that Jesus went about everywhere doing good. That's how our love towards one another is to be practical. And you know, brethren, love, just like faith, without works is dead. Another fourth point I'd like to make is this love that we are to have for one another is also to be constant and devoted. Come back, if you would, to John chapter 13. This time we're going to look at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the world. I believe that that is the very way our love for one another ought to be, brethren. It should be devoted, it should be constant, and it should be unchangeable. Look at 1 John chapter 3 again. 1 John chapter 3. And I tell you what, brethren. I tell you what, I think this love is proof to the Christian himself that he is what he ought to be. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now listen to this. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. He's talking about a Christian there. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeketh and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. This love, brethren, this love also acts as proof recognized by fellow Christians. And let me tell you, the love that characterizes Christians is a means of recognition. It is a language that tells us we are with a fellow citizen in the kingdom of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Brethren, I have seen this love personally. I have seen this love when I travel, the way that brethren all over the world treat me and act towards me. I'll never forget a trip that Jane and I took to San Juan, Puerto Rico a few years back. While we were there, we had Sunday services in a small church in the jungle of Puerto Rico with about 15 fellow Christians. Now, the preacher came to our hotel and picked us up. We'd already arranged for that. And he drove us, and he drove us, and he drove us into the jungle, to the actual jungle in Puerto Rico. Of course, when we got there, they didn't speak English, and we didn't speak Spanish. So the preacher preached in Spanish, and then he interpreted and said the same thing to us in English. But what really impressed me and Jane was this. We were greeted at the door by every one of them and given a kiss, and a hug for every one of them. And you know what? The service was the same as Paul stated it would be in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17 when he said, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ." Now listen now. "As I teach everywhere in every church." Brethren, there was no difference in the service in the jungle of Puerto Rico than the service here at Prairie Village. Paul stated that the same doctrine was taught in all the churches. So when you're a faithful Christian, you truly do have friends everywhere. You will always have food to eat. You'll always have a place to lay your head because of the love that we have for one another. And brethren, this love is a mark or a token by which the world can distinguish who are Christians and who are not. There's a very famous passage that is found in the works of one of the so-called early church fathers, a man by the name of Tertullian from the second century. And I'm sure most of you have read some of his works, Tertullian. It's called Apology, and it is a defense of Christianity. In chapter 39, he wrote, and I quote, "But it is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. See, they say, how they love one another, for themselves are animated by mutual hatred. How they are ready even to die for one another, for they themselves will sooner put to death." So you see, even in the second century, the love that characterized Christians one to another was apparent to all and distinguished brethren from an unbelieving world. And you know, brethren, it is very easy to counterfeit various things that seem to characterize Christians. People can dress like Christians if they want to, and there should be a difference. They can talk like Christians if they want to. They can even attend services all the time if they want to, but the love that Christ enjoins upon each of us to have for one another cannot be counterfeited. You can't fake it. Now we must learn it, and we must learn it, and we can learn it, but you can't fake it. There's a tradition, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's interesting. It has to do with the Apostle John when he was in old age. And by reading John's writings, almost all of us know that his favorite theme was love. And the tradition says that when John was too old and too feeble to walk, he would be carried into the church, and with a voice made shaky by age, he would say, "Little children, love one another. It is the Lord's commandment." And you know, brethren, every problem a congregation has, every difficulty that may arise, all can be solved by adherence to this commands of the Lord. Love one another as I have loved you. Also love one another. Every difficulty can be solved by that. So let me encourage each of you this evening to take a moment and look around. See some way or note someone whom you can manifest a little of this love? Is someone sick and needing a visit? Is there a brother or sister that you know who's a little downhearted and can use that right word from you? Maybe someone needs to be taken to the doctor. Or maybe someone needs to be taken to the grocery. Or maybe they need their yard cut. Or something like that. Love in principle is like seed. Love in action is fruit ripe thereof. So Prairie Village, let us be a haven of love in an ugly world. God's motivation towards people is love. Man was created as an object of God's infinite love to share in it and to freely choose to love Him in return. Listen to what the Apostle John says in 1 John 4 and verse 9 when he says, "And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." He says God sent His only begotten Son so that we might live through Him. Isn't that beautiful? I think it is. And by His agonizing death, we see His personal love for each individual, both great and small. But God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Please think of what was said this evening. There may be some here this evening who are not Christians. If you're not, why? Why aren't you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, what is stopping you? What is keeping you from becoming a Christian? You must, in order to become a Christian, you must repent of your sins, and you must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. Then you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Then you'll come out of that watery grave a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. We've had such a beautiful day today, but this could be the last day we have on this earth. We don't never know. So why take a chance? Why take a chance? And if you're a Christian, maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you haven't been coming to church as you should. Or maybe you sin in a manner that others are aware of. You too need to take care of that this evening by coming forward. Let us pray with you and pray for you. And I've asked Brother Bill to sing a beautiful song, "Angry Words, Oh Let Them Never," for our invitation. And I pray and hope these comforting words will get you to come forward and take care of any problems you may have. Brother Bill.